As we continue worshiping together this morning, attune your hearts to hear these words taken from Psalm chapter 19, verses 1 through 6. The heavens are telling the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night declares knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard, yet their voice goes out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In the heavens he has set a tent for the sun, which comes out like a bridegroom from his wedding canopy, and like a strong man runs its course with joy. Its rising is from the end of the heavens, and its circuit to the end of them, and nothing is hid from its heat. Now let us continue listening for the word of God as we hear these words from the book of Job, taken from the 12th chapter and beginning in the 7th verse. But ask the animals, and they will teach you. The birds of the air, and they will tell you. Ask the plants of the earth, and they will teach you. And the fish of the sea will declare to you. Who among all these does not know that the hand of the Lord has done this? In his hand is the life of every living thing and the breath of every human being. Hear what the Spirit is saying.
Amen. Let us pray. Lord, send forth your Spirit and renew the face of the earth. Let your word go forth so that it might not return to you empty, but accomplish that for which it was sent. And may my words and meditation this day participate in what you want to say and do in the world. In Jesus' name I pray it. Amen. I like people who are talking back, so I'm going to keep it coming. Just keep it coming. Gives me fuel and energy to hear the sounds and the voices of new life. What a gift. This past week, I traveled, as you heard, traveled alongside other Foundry folks to Newark, New Jersey to stand witness at the Judicial Council's public hearings on the case brought against the Western jurisdiction of the United Methodist Church regarding the election, consecration, and assignment of the Reverend Karen Olivito as a bishop. Bishop Olivito, the UMC's first openly gay bishop, is an accomplished pastor whose gifts and graces for Episcopal leadership are abundantly clear to everyone. At issue, for those bringing the complaint, is nothing to do with her competence, her loyalty to the United Methodist Church, or her faithfulness to Jesus, but rather Bishop Olivito's sexual orientation and marriage to her wife. On those grounds, so the argument goes, the actions of the Western jurisdiction should be found to be null, void, and of no effect. This was the legal phrase that kept getting used over and over and over again in the public hearing on Tuesday. Null, void, and of no effect. And I kept thinking to myself, there's no way any human legal process can nullify or make ineffectual what Spirit is doing in and through Bishop Karen and through the deeply discerned actions of our siblings in the West. The ruling that came out on Friday simply upheld what we already know to be unjust policy. It changes nothing about Bishop Olivito's status or her profound and powerful ministry, nor can it take away any of the grace that has flowed into the world through her or through countless other LGBTQ clergy who have served this church from the beginning. Human laws can try, but will always fail to hinder God. Even so, human laws can be cruel. They can do harm. And our church's laws continue to do harm. But this is the way the world is. This is the way the world is. The human family divides and rejects and litigates and belittles and does harm in so many ways. And for all sorts of reasons that are simply unnecessary and so often driven by fear. This weekend, Foundry's Sacred Resistance Action was to participate in the People's Climate March, a powerful witness of our commitment to faithful stewardship of and advocacy for clean air, water, land, healthy communities, and a world at peace. We know that there is a climate crisis. We know that ocean temperatures and levels are rising. We know that human activities and industries are largely responsible for this, and for the pollution of water and air and land, and for the destabilization and destruction of entire ecosystems. We know that there is a tragic intersection of injustice between environmental crisis and the poor. Over the course of the past several months, the much touted word deregulation has struck no shortage of anxiety in my heart. People have suggested that perhaps some of those rules and regulations don't protect the environment the way they were supposed to. Well, that might be true. But I confess that when I hear the word deregulation, all I can think of is that businesses and industries and manufacturers will be given free rein to do whatever they want, as cheaply as they want, with no thought of the environmental or communal consequences. Some will do the right thing because their leadership and mission are guided by a strong moral compass. Thanks be to God. Others, and I have to say my cynical side fears most others, will lack such discretion. But this is the way the world is. The human family so often forgets our interdependence with each other and with all the creation. We become short-sighted and we seek what is most expedient and cost-effective instead of what's most loving and mutually supportive. The way the world is can feel so heavy and leave us weary and hungry for something that nourishes our need for hope, for a sense of solid ground, for beauty, for tenderness. What a gift it was to see the Pope's TED Talk go viral this past week. In the talk, Pope Francis speaks of our need for one another. He speaks of the need for a robust understanding and practice of solidarity, and for what he calls a revolution of tenderness. What is the tenderness that he's talking about? He says, tenderness is not weakness. It is fortitude. It's the love that comes close and becomes real, says the Pope. He says, it's a movement that starts from our heart and reaches the eyes and the ears and the hands. Tenderness means to use our eyes to see the other, our ears to hear the other, to listen to the children, to listen to the poor, to listen to those who are afraid of the future, to listen also to the silent cry of our common home, of our sick and polluted earth. Tenderness means to use our hands and our heart to comfort the other, to take care of those in need. These words were soul food for me this week. A powerful and timely reminder that even when it seems that the voices of rejection and division and fear and deregulation will prevail, the voice of love and gospel pops up in unexpected places. I mean, it's the Pope giving a TED talk. But life emerging in unexpected places always strikes me. You know that sight that you see sometimes, the sight of a tuft of grass or a single flower poking its way up through a tiny crack in a sea of concrete pavement. For me, that very small thing points to a very large truth. The power of life that is fueled by the love and presence of an endlessly creative God is stubborn and determined. Life and love will always ultimately prevail. We heard a few verses from one of Job's speeches this morning. In general, Job represents the voice of suffering when no soul food is available. Job knows full well the way the world is. And the book as a whole is a beautifully challenging meditation on the nature of virtue and of suffering, of reward and punishment, and the nature of the God-human relationship. But today, the words of Job proclaim, in the midst of his suffering, a very simple tenet of ancient wisdom. The earth and its creatures teach. They declare that God is the source and sustainer of life and of breath. And Psalm 19 captures that wisdom. The heavens are telling the glory of God. The firmament proclaims God's handiwork. Earth speaks. It teaches. Poet Gerard Manley Hopkins expands upon Psalm 19 in his poem, God's Grandeur. Some lines from that poem. The world is charged with the grandeur of God, is how it starts. Then he says a little later, all is seared with trade, bleared, smeared with toil, and wears man's smudge and shares man's smell. And for all this, nature is never spent. There lives the dearest freshness deep down things. And though the last lights off the Black West went, oh, morning, at the brown brink eastward springs. Because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and, bright wings. Whenever I share a poem of any kind in public, I can't help thinking of my daddy, who loved to tell the story of his college English class, in which his reaction to poetry as an accounting major was general frustration and aggravation. Why not just say what you mean? He may not have used any formal poetic way of speaking, but my dad did speak with the wisdom of Job and the Psalms. In the face of my rather constant stress and over-responsibility and anxiety, he would remind me over and over again, "The sun comes up every morning, sis. There's nothing you can do about that." Just another way of saying, as Hopkins does, that for all our human smear and smudge, nature is never spent. And morning at the brown brink eastward, springs. New every morning. And it proclaims something powerful. It's a new day. It's a new start. It's a new life. It's a reminder of God's love that is new every morning. I don't know about you, but one of the things that consistently helps me regain a sense of balance, hope, and general well-being in the face of anxiety and stress is to be outside. To look at the trees. To listen to the birds. To walk barefoot on the grass or the sand, to feel the breeze against my skin, to smell the scent of flowers or wet earth or cut grass. It recalibrates my blood pressure to pet and play with the dog and the cat who share our home. Even if it's with the aid of allergy medicine, or perhaps the barrier of a great picture window through which to take it in, my guess is that all of us can be fed and nourished by intentional engagement with earth, wind, fire, water, and all the plants and the creatures and the energies in this beautiful world. The animals and the plants speak, they teach. They teach us things about life and about God, about ourselves. You never know when you walk out or look out, when you'll see or receive something that restores your hope, that calls you back to something more real than all the litigation and destruction so prevalent around us. And knowing that my father is groaning in heaven, I'm going to share one more poetic vision from Wendell Berry, who shares this. After the bitter nights and the gray, cold days comes a bright afternoon. I go into the creek valley, and there are the horses, the black and the white, lying in the warm shine on a bed of dry hay. They lie side by side, identically posed as a painter might imagine them. Heads up, ears and eyes alert. They are beautiful in the light and in the warmth, happy. Such harmonies are rare. This is not the way the world is. It is a possibility, nonetheless, deeply seated within the world. It is the way the world is sometimes. As we continue through this Easter season and this soul food series, I encourage you to add to your diet some intentional time outside. You never know when you'll get to be given the gift of experiencing the way the world is sometimes. You never know when you'll catch a glimpse of harmony. The world is that way sometimes. And it could be that way even more. And ultimately, by God's grace and in God's mercy, it will be that way always. When in the fullness of time, all things are reconciled and made new.